Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. Some of us may have had to call on assistance from the ambulance service and their paramedics. I know I have. Not for me, thankfully, but for other people. They've come a long way from being simply an ambulatory patient transport service from back in the day. The modern role of a paramedic is highly specialised, with today's ambulances really being mini hospitals on wheels. And they cost a fortune to kit out and they cost a fortune to run. Now, we see paramedics' roles depicted in television dramas. In fact, I've played a paramedic on television a few times. But what kind of vocation is it to take on the career of a paramedic? I'll get my teeth in. And what training is involved? Well, yesterday I caught up with Murray McGregor, who's the communications director from West Midlands Ambulance Service. And I began by asking him to tell me about the geographical area that West Midlands Ambulance Service covers, because it is rather immense.
Well, West Midlands Ambulance Service was formed in 2006, actually on the 1st of July 2006. So we just celebrated our 15th anniversary. We cover the whole of the West Midlands. So that's the old West Midlands region, the sort of Birmingham, Black Country, Coventry, Solihull, and that area, but also the counties of Staffordshire, Herefordshire, Shropshire, Worcestershire, and Warwickshire. So quite a big area, about 5,000 square miles.
And that must present its challenges to your staff in, you know, in itself, really, because that's such a vast area. But for people who perhaps want to consider a career as being a paramedic, what routes are there into your organisation to do that?
Well, we're quite unusual as an ambulance service because we've been pushing the paramedic profession really hard for well over the last 10 years. We understand entirely that having a paramedic on every ambulance makes a big difference to patients. And we're still the only ambulance service in the country that has a paramedic on every vehicle. Like hospitals where you have healthcare assistants, nurses, doctors, got a range of clinical skills, the ambulance service is similar. So paramedics are generally the sort of lifeblood of the organisation, but then we have technicians and we still have a few emergency care assistants. And like in a hospital, paramedics have more skills than the other two people. And what we wanted to do about 10 years ago was to make sure that we had a paramedic on every vehicle. The reason we wanted to do that was because we know that if there's a paramedic there, then we can treat many more patients there and then rather than have to take them into hospital. So, for example, at the moment, we're taking less than half the patients that we go to into hospital. Mm-hmm. Roughly about half of them are treated at home. And we know that that's what people want. People don't want to go to hospital if they don't want to. So having a paramedic on every vehicle makes a big difference to that.
Now, I thought in my ignorance that everybody on an ambulance was a paramedic. That's clearly not the case. So there's one paramedic, and typically on an ambulance, what are the ratio of staff is there?
So the standard crew for an ambulance is a paramedic, for us anyway, is a paramedic and a technician. So many of them are student paramedics. So at the moment, we've got almost 1,000 students working with us. And that's a mixture of people who are training through our student paramedic program and also graduate paramedic schemes that we work with using 5 different universities. So these are the two routes that are into becoming a paramedic. So there's one, you go to university and do a paramedic sciences degree, which is a 3-year degree course. And we work very closely with Staffordshire University, Worcestershire University, Coventry University, University of Wolverhampton, and also Birmingham City University. And we've got hundreds of their students that they do a block of learning at the university, and then they come and do a placement with us. And they generally third man with our crew. So we've got a normal crew plus one of their students with us.
Now, your training...
The alternative way in is to become a student paramedic with us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a slightly different way of learning. When you go to university, you're looking at multiple A levels to get in to do that. Whereas for us, if you come in via our student paramedics program, then it's a slightly longer way of getting in, but it's a much more vocational way. And the big boost for many people is that it's an earn as you learn scheme. So we pay you as you are learning to become a paramedic. And also the qualifications you need, because it is a slightly longer course, are slightly different. So for our student paramedic program, you need to have 5 GCSEs, including English, Maths and Science, at grade C or above and a single A level, whereas you might need two or three A levels to get to go to one of the universities. So it's quite a different way in. And then if you're doing the student paramedic program, you do 14 weeks at our training academy, the National Ambulance Training Academy in Briley Hill, and then you do 4 weeks of blue light emergency driver training, and then you go on the road. You have to work through 750 hours of supervised work with a paramedic on the ambulance, at which point you put together a portfolio of your work and you get your technician status. You then carry on working as a technician on the ambulances for about 6 months before we then send you to university for a further 9 months. And at the end of that, you come out as a qualified paramedic and you can gain your Health and Care Professions Council registration as a paramedic. Two very different ways through, but you end up with exactly the same qualification. It's very much different horses for courses. And we get great people from both, but undoubtedly it suits some people much better to do it the student paramedic route rather than go to the university route.
Now, your training is second to none. You've just illustrated that. What makes your training different from other providers, for example?
I think we've been doing it for much longer than other people. We understood that we needed to develop this, as I say, about a decade ago, and we set up these qualifications with our own training academy, and we went through the Ofsted qualification. And the first time you go through the Ofsted qualifications, you can only score a good. You can't be an outstanding, and we got good that first time, and we're very confident that we'll get outstanding the next time that we're assessed. And we also developed tremendous links with the universities in our area. And, you know, our name is West Midlands Ambulance Service University NHS Foundation Trust. And that's because we have such good links with the universities, both in the way that we train paramedics, but also the research we do. As an ambulance service, we probably do more research into developing ambulance services than any other ambulance trust in the country. And, you know, we're well regarded by universities. We're involved in a number of different schemes where our staff work with those universities, particularly Warwick University, to develop the skills that paramedics have.
Now, if I'm unfortunate enough to request the attendance of an ambulance for whatever reason, there will be a paramedic on board, there will also be an ambulance technician. What responsibilities do each of those members of staff have?
So essentially they do very much the same things, but paramedics do slightly more. So one of the big differences that a paramedic has is that they can use controlled drugs, so a drug like morphine. That has very significant rules and regulations associated with it, because it's obviously a controlled drug. You have to get a Home Office approval to use it. And that's one of the big differences. But they can also do certain other techniques, particularly around gynecology, that a technician isn't allowed to do. But the basics are very much the same. But they work as a team. And it's very much a team effort every time they go. It's not just the paramedic does all the work, the technician stands around. They work as a team. And that's one of the great benefits. And it's why many people make not only lifelong crewmates, but lifelong friendships out of working within the ambulance service. Because, you know, if you've watched any of the television programs that we're involved with, like Ambulance or 999 on the Front Line, you'll hear staff say that if you're working with somebody one-to-one for a 12-hour shift, you have to be good friends, because otherwise it's a very, very long 12-hour shift.
Well, the people very often spend more time with their colleague than they do with their loved ones at home, really, don't they?
Absolutely. You know, they're working, you know, many hours at work, and then going home, and, you know, you have to take on the sleep. But and that's why, as I say, many of them end up as lifelong friends, which is fantastic. And, you know, it's one of the reasons why so many people enjoy being a paramedic or working with the ambulance service.
Now, you've already detailed the qualifications that are required from both elements of joining your organisation. What other skills and qualities do you look for in an individual?
So I think one of the things that we're really keen to see is that people actually want to work with the ambulance service. You know, we get huge numbers of people interested in it, but we want to know why they want to do it as much as whether they've got the skills to do it, because it's those people that are driven to want to help people that make such a difference. So a desire to work within the ambulance service, a desire to work for West Midlands Ambulance Service particularly, and because we're an outstanding organisation as rated by the Care Quality Commission, we get lots of people coming from around the country wanting to come and work with us. And, you know, that very high standard of work that we produce every single day is recognised by people around the country. But also we want people to have really good communication skills. They have to understand that teamwork is a really important part, and also leadership qualities, because there are going to be times when they have to take the lead, particularly if you're at a job that has multiple patients, and the paramedic particularly will have to take the clinical leadership of that. So they'll make the decision to triage those patients very quickly, and then decide which patient they're going to work on, and then decide which patient that their technician's going to work on. And you know, if it comes to multiple patients and multiple crews, that first paramedic on scene will have clinical leadership until we can get an operational manager there. So there's a tremendous weight of leadership on their shoulders, and that's why we need people to be really at the top of their game all the time.
Now, you mentioned programmes like, 999, What's Your Emergency, and things like that, and that gives us an insight into the role of the service. And, of course, there was a previous programme that focused on West Midlands Ambulance Service, and I think they sort of, look at various services around the UK. Let's pop that to one side, but then you see dramas like, Casualty, Holby, whatever, on the television. How authentic is the role of the paramedic that they're playing there? Because obviously it's a television drama, so it won't be, they'll sex it up. But in reality, there is a lot of other things that paramedics and ambulance staff are responsible for.
I think the programmes like 999 on Frontline and Ambulance, I think, give a very good understanding of what the job is like. And very much it's not, many of the jobs that we go to are not big smashes, big trauma jobs and things like that. The vast majority of our patients are aged over 65, particularly people over 70, elderly people who have falls and unfortunately end up with broken hips and things like that, have heart problems, have breathing difficulties. They're not the most, you use the word sexy, of jobs, but they're really important jobs. And I think it's people, one of the types of people we're looking for is people who understand the importance of that role and helping people, because it is so important that we look at each individual patient and understand what they need and provide them with the best care. And I think it's really good that the programs are starting to see, look at some of these non-exciting jobs, if you like, because they're the real bread and butter. They're the ones that we make such a difference to people. Yes, undoubtedly, a big road traffic collision, we can make a huge difference, but we make just as much difference to the 75-year-old lady who's got breathing difficulty, or the 85-year-old man who's had a fall in his garden, where we can really, give them good pain relief before we get them to hospital and get them to that definitive care where they'll be able to get sorted out and hopefully live many more years.
From my time as a special constable years ago, the majority of police work is actually quite humdrum and mundane. Would that be a fair description to say of the work of paramedics and ambulance staff?
I don't think humdrum is the right word, because every patient that we go to, we can make a real difference. Mm-hmm. The way that we look at it is, if you're dialing 999, it's probably one of the worst days of your life. Mm-hmm. Because you or somebody that you're with, a loved one, is in a really bad way. And people don't dial 999 just for nothing. The vast majority of people that dial 999 are because they are really concerned about people. And I think it's one of the reasons why people enjoy the paramedic profession, is because every single patient they can make such a difference to, whatever it is that's wrong with the patient, whether that's just reassurance. And you've seen on some of the programs where they make them a cup of tea or make them a sandwich. And it's those sorts of things that really make a difference to people, as well as the clinical care that we can give them. And that's why it's so important that people are interested in caring and understanding what the job is about. It's not all about the crashes, dashes and smashes. It's about the care for mainly elderly people who are really having a bad day.
And also, from your organisation's perspective, it's important to recruit the leaders of the future, because, you want people that will offer you longevity of service.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our own chief executive started in our non-emergency patient transport service, and worked his way up to become the chief executive. And, you know, we have loads of staff who join at 16, 17 as an apprentice with us in our non-emergency patient transport service, and then gain those qualifications, and then go on to become a student paramedic. And from there, well, world to your oyster. You can go on to specialise into different types of paramedicine. You can go into management type of things. There are specialist roles such as the air ambulance, the hazardous air response team. So there's a whole range of different options to you, from you know, very humble beginnings through to being chief executive of an ambulance service.
Just touch on a number of the other roles that you mentioned. You mentioned the air ambulance, and, you know, specialising in different areas. Give me an example of some of those.
So, you know, all the paramedics that you see flying on the red helicopters, the Midlands Air Ambulance helicopters, work for us. They are critical care paramedics, so they have gone on and done effectively a master's level degree in critical care. They do some very fancy stuff. They work with mainly doctors, to provide really advanced care in a pre-hospital setting, whether that's advanced analgesia, so pain, advanced pain relief, so surgical procedures at the side of a road. They can put patients to sleep in anaesthetics, and a whole range of different things that really allow them to provide incredible care. If you look at the hazardous area response team, you know, they're real specialists in what they do. So they're able to work in really nasty situations. So that's in a collapsed building, dangling off ropes, on high-rise buildings. It could be swift water rescue. It could be in chemical instance, nuclear instance, biological instance. You know, they have to be able to haul patients around whilst wearing effectively a spacesuit, with breathing stuff. We support the fire service in burning buildings if we're required to get patients out of that. They work with police at firearms incidents. So it's a whole range of nasty places to be, but where we know that if we get a paramedic beside those patients, then we can make a real difference to whether they live or die.
Tell me about people who may identify with having a disability. How receptive are you to them, and how can you accommodate them in their role and training as a paramedic or an ambulance technician?
So we are a disability confident leader, or have disability confident leader status, which we're very proud of, and we employ lots of people with disabilities. Clearly it's got to be reviewed on a case-by-case basis, as certain factors need to be considered for each role. For example, the ability to drive under blue lights and what that brings. But particularly as a paramedic, whether you can lift and move patients, because that's a vital part of the role. So, you know, there are a whole range of different roles within the ambulance service, and we absolutely welcome people with disabilities.
One thing I wanted to know is at the moment with the pandemic like it is, people have lost their jobs and are finding that they're having career changes. Do you get many people retraining from other backgrounds? And if so, what sort of industries have they come across, and then have been recruited by you for training?
So we have a large number of people that come from a military background, which we're very proud of. And again, we've got, we're very well regarded by the military, because lots of people find that it's a very similar sort of role. They like that, that sort of link between very structured organisation that they are having in the military and then join the ambulance service, because it's very similar. But equally, I know of a stuntman that changed his role and came to work
really?
For us. Absolutely. We've got former nurses that joined us. The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. We have got people from every conceivable background. Lots of people in their second or indeed third role in life, job role in life. So it really is for anybody. And, you know, people in their 40s and 50s joining us, as well as people in their late teens and early 20s. You know, it doesn't matter what age you are. If you meet the qualifications and you've got the drive, come and join us.
Well, I can vouch for that, because three of my friends work for you and they have an absolute ball in their job. And as you say, it's all about making that positive difference. But if things go wrong on a job, perhaps they lose a patient and the patient doesn't make it, what sort of, counselling and support is there for staff who may need it?
So looking after staff is a really important part of our organisation. And we have a hugely highly regarded team called SALS, Staff Advice and Liaison Service. That's members of staff who take additional training to support their colleagues. And that's available 24/7. And it's not just to debrief staff after a bad job. They can provide support in a whole range of different scenarios, whether that's mental well-being, whether it's financial problems that people find themselves in. We currently have two members of staff who are qualified physiotherapists that support staff if they've been injured, back injury, for example. And that used to be one of our most common injuries, and it's now no longer because of the work of our physiotherapy team. Equally, we've got three mental well-being practitioners work for us, and they provide a huge amount of support for people in their hour of need. We've got hundreds of staff with mental health first aiders, and we're putting huge amounts of time and effort into supporting staff. And I think that's the proof is in the pudding in this one, because we have the lowest staff absence rate of any ambulance service and one of the lowest in the country for any NHS organisation. So I think it's proof that we do support staff exceptionally well.
I think as well, in partnership with that, it's having the right family support at home for staff as well.
Oh, absolutely. And, when our chief executive, when we have an award ceremony or bring staff together, one of the things he almost always says is, please take his personal thanks to your family members, because they're the ones that support our staff, at the end of every day. When they go home after potentially a really bad day, their family members are there to support them through thick and thin. And, it is so important that you have a good network of people around you. But as I say, if you don't have that, and clearly there are people that don't, there are support networks within the ambulance service to make sure that you are able to carry on.
Give me your top three or more, if you want, of selling points for somebody who's actually considering a career like this.
Gosh, that's a hard one. There are so many. I think the fact that you make lifelong friends, the fact that you're able to make a difference to people's lives every single day, the fact that we have staff who've worked within the ambulance sector for up to 50 years gives you an indication that it's just a fantastic career, and it's a great organisation to work for. How about that?
It's marvellous. How can we find out more, Murray?
So there's lots of information on our website, which is www.wmas.nhs.uk. There's a section called Work For Us. There's a large amount of information about what to do if you want to become a student paramedic. This year we'll be taking on about 400 student paramedics, plus another 100 graduate paramedics, so lots of opportunities to join us this year. What I would encourage people to do is to make sure that they go to that information and study what is required, because lots of people don't get through the very first line of questioning because, for example, they haven't applied for their C1 licence, which is a mandatory requirement if you're applying for a student paramedic post. So take the time to go and have a look at it now, so that when we do start advertising again, that you've got all the qualifications and all your ducks lined up so that you can make that first step on the road.
Tell me about that licence. Did you say C1 licence? What's that, man?
Yes. So if you're old like me, and I suspect you might well have a C1 licence, a C1 on your licence. So it's the ability to drive a certain type of vehicle, so a little van type vehicle. And about 15, 20 years ago, they changed that. So you now have to take a test and have that on your licence. So people, particularly if they're in their 20s, need to go and apply for that. And that involves getting a medical form signed by your GP, and we know sometimes it's not as easy to get that done quickly. So it's making sure that you've got all that in train before you get around to applying.
So the key thing then is to go on the website, go to the section that says Work For Us, and read and digest what's there first.
Absolutely. There's a frequently asked question section there that's very clear about what you need.
Murray McGregor, Communications Director from West Midlands Ambulance Service, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Live.
Thank you.
That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.